Well, now to the latest on emerging technologies and tech companies with This Week in Tech. Entrepreneur and technology author Steve Sammartino joined me once again in our Melbourne studio. Steve, thanks for coming in.
Always a pleasure.
Now, a lot's been happening with driverless cars, including in Washington State in the US, where the governor signed off an order to allow self-driving cars to begin testing on the state's roads without any human being behind the wheel. Now, that sounds unnecessarily risky. Why do they need these sorts of tests?
Yeah, it's an absolutely important part of the deployment. I mean, we all agree that driverless cars are the future within transport. And unless we can get to a point where there actually is no one in the cars, then the benefits of the technology won't really be understood. And while it seems risky on the surface of it, we've done more than 10 million miles. And after 7 years of testing on public roads, it seems as though the technology is certainly ready to start deploying. And governments are starting to realise that. So on the back of that, we had some interesting things where General Motors announced it's tripling its driverless fleet of vehicles, adding 130 advanced Chevrolet Bolt cars to their existing lineup of 50. Now, the Bolt is a first-generation electric vehicle, and it's interesting to see that a legacy firm will be the first to assemble self-drive cars in a mass production facility. They've now invested more than $500 million into driverless technology.
Well, they're the legacy company, but Steve, overnight, the Apple CEO confirmed what's widely been rumoured, that Apple is also wanting to get in on the driverless car game. What could Apple do in this space?
Yeah, it's interesting for Apple because they're well known as an electronics manufacturer and they do have a manufacturing capability. But Tim Cook, the CEO, called it the mother of all artificial intelligence projects, which makes me wonder if they're going to just do a software play within the inside of the cars or whether or not they'll actually be manufacturing.
So how soon, realistically, could we see driverless cars as a major feature on Australian roads?
Well, Elon Musk says that he will have fully autonomous vehicles within his Tesla range within 2 years, and those cars are already sold in Australia. But there are two things that we need to remember, is that cars are now rolling computers. So the development progression follows that of technology, where you get exponential improvements as the data flows back into the cars. And also, there's a massive economic imperative to get driverless cars on the road, because the prize is big, not just for the manufacturers, but those in logistics and transport business to increase their profitability. I think within 5 years, we're going to see driverless cars going around with no one inside them on our roads as a regular feature in Australia.
5 years.
Absolutely.
All right, Steve, let's head over to Sweden, where it seems drones could soon be replacing the ambulance service. What's happening there?
Yeah, so a simulated study in Stockholm found that drones carrying a defibrillator, which could be used by a member of the public, arrived 16 minutes quicker than emergency services could on average going through the roads, saving precious time. I mean, the thing that's interesting here is that every minute that passes from a collapse or something requiring a defibrillator, the chances of survival go down by 10% for every minute. And within 10 to 12 minutes, survival is, you know, practically zero. So having the defibrillator arrive within a few minutes is a huge improvement. Now, in the study, the defibrillators dispatched by drone arrived in 5 minutes and 21 seconds on average versus 22 minutes via an emergency services vehicle. So it's really interesting to see that this invisible infrastructure of ones and zeros, you know, the air becoming the road, potentially changing important emergency services.
The downside, of course, could be that the defibrillators will arrive before the paramedics can get there, and that could leave the patient in just as much danger with a member of the public treating them.
Yeah, and this is part of a wider shift that we're seeing in technology, where people at the end of a technology become the user. So it's part of this prosumer movement where we're half producer, half consumer. We've seen it in citizen journalism, and that isn't without its problems. Citizen doctors is something I think is maybe a little bit scarier that we need to consider. And again, this is another example of the technology moving so fast that once it gets into market, there are considerations or externalities that we need to think through more clearly.
So while there might be citizen doctors in Sweden, in India, there could soon be citizen police officers, at least in the state of Uttar Pradesh. What's the story there?
So the chief minister of India's biggest state is turning to technology to help fight crime. To hold police more accountable in following up every distress call recorded, citizens making distress calls to their 000 emergency service equivalent can now record the video of the crime or the situation while police are arriving. Now, this is tagged, a number is allotted to it, and it goes into a system where the government and the police have to follow up. And so it's a part of a big movement where we're actually recording our lives as it happens. We've seen it from the crime fighters' perspective filming things, and now it seems it's been flipped back the other way. But it's an interesting example of our lives are basically going to be recorded everywhere we go. But it will have benefits, I think, for society in terms of safety and legal situations being able to see what happened live.
Finally, Steve, there's a curious thing happening at WordPress, one of the world's lesser-known international tech giants. It's expanding its business but shutting its offices. That seems somewhat contradictory. What's that about?
Absolutely. The company who run WordPress are Automattic. Now, this company is an internet giant that very few know about. So they control or host 24% of all pages on the web. And so they've had from their birth an idea that the company is highly distributed. Anyone can work from anywhere. They famously never even meet employees and give them projects and interview them online. And they had offices and co-working spaces, but on average, they said that five people were turning up because they don't believe in the office culture. Now, this runs counter to what we've seen with some other big companies who've turned against having a distributed workforce. Some of the names there include IBM and Hewlett-Packard, and famously Yahoo completely forbid the exercise of people working from home. But I think WordPress and Automattic have proven that if you have it in your DNA, then there's a major cost and lifestyle advantage. One of the other things that we need to remember is that governments should have a close look at this. The pressure that we have on infrastructure and housing in areas of employment, if people can use technology and work in a distributed manner, then that can reduce the costs of living, reduce pressure on infrastructure, and it, as Automattic and WordPress have proven, you can become an incredibly successful company via having trust in a distributed workforce. I think we're going to see much more of that as cost pressures in companies come, and it's a way to reduce cost and still grow as an organisation.
Steve Sammartino, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And Steve will be taking a few weeks' break from the show next week as he launches his latest book, The Lessons That School Forgot.